Monster Man, episode 410, Golems. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at another big category of monsters from Monsters Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we do that, I've got a couple of quick announcements. First, stand by for the announcement of my crowdfunding campaign for my new Old School Essentials scenario, the Meganium Mine Murders. I'm hoping it'll be out this week. There's a possibility it might be next week. It all depends on factors beyond my control, but I will do a little mini episode on this feed, essentially a kind of commercial. If you're not interested, please feel free to just skip or delete it. It'll just be me talking about what it is and where you can find it. And for a while, you're going to find a lot of links and things to it, in the show notes and so forth. If a mysterious episode suddenly appears in your feed, that is why. Secondly, it's time to thank some new patrons. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And depending on the level you pledge at, you'll get your own special reward. At the $1 level, you get monthly bonus content and my profound thanks. At the $2 level, new episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities. And at the $5 level, the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode. So thank you very much to Grubnash, Greg Allen, Trish Paulson, and returning patron Daniel. I may have thanked Daniel before, but, if I have, thank you twice. It means a lot to me that you are enjoying the show enough to want to support it, so thank you very much. Okay, let us talk about golems. We have talked about golems a good deal already because there were golems in Season 1 in the Monster Manual, there were golems in the Creature Catalog, and there have been various construct or golem-like creatures in other books. So many of the monsters that we are going to talk about in this section are ones that we've discussed before. So I'll explain how we're going to cope with that in a moment. Here are a couple of key points that's important to remember from our discussion earlier on. The first is that this whole idea that golem, broadly speaking, means an artificial creature is a category invented by D&D who were looking for some kind of word that could denote an artificial construct and which sounded fantasy-y, so not to call them robots or something like that. There are some people who are not very big fans of this, and I understand why, which is that they see it as taking a specific monster that is the product of Jewish folklore and Jewish literature, right? The Golem of Prague, or even just like golems in general, but the most famous instance is the Golem of Prague, and using it as a catch-all category for anything that is, an artificial human-like being. And I think since then, it is certainly the case that most people in a fantasy context would understand the word construct to mean this thing. Maybe not at the time that D&D came out in the late 70s, but these days, I feel like it's a pretty common usage. So I understand why some people object to it, and even leaving aside the issue of cultural sensitivity, I think from a category naming perspective, it's not very useful. But that is what they're called in this book. That is what I am looking at here. But one of the reasons that I think construct is a better name is that it focuses on the creature's artificiality, which is the thing that all of these monsters have in common. So we have an 8-page section here, which contains 13 monsters. Obviously, I cannot fit 13 monsters into a single episode, so we're going to give it the treatment that we gave the giants. We're going to start by looking at which of those 13 monsters we have seen previously. And then in subsequent episodes, we're going to look only at the ones that are new to us. So let's break it down. Of these 13 monsters, which have we seen before and which haven't we? We start off with the greater and lesser golems. And these are our old friends, the stone, iron, flesh, and clay golems. And they look very much, the text looks very much like what you would expect. One of the things that's really interesting about Tony DiTerlizzi's illustrations here is that he seems to have, or to have felt, a greater degree of freedom in terms of how he interpreted the things that he was working on, by which I mean these don't necessarily resemble previous versions of those monsters. And I think that that's a good thing. Set the Iron Golem a bit. So we start with the Stone Golem, which is pretty much what you'd expect. It's made of rocks. But this one has a much more like refined living statue kind of look to it, a sort of an ancient Egyptian kind of feel with its tall kind of cylindrical hat. Then we've got the Iron Golem. These are both examples of greater golems. The Iron Golem kind of looks like a, you know, suit of armor, whereas previously very much specifically looked like Talos from Jason and the Argonauts. Then we've got the Lesser Golem, which again has two types, the Flesh Golem. Now the Flesh Golem's illustration, once again, is much more kind of wretched looking and doesn't look like Frankenstein's monster as most of us think of him, right? So it doesn't look like Boris Karloff as Frankenstein's monster. And then we've got the Lesser, parentheses, clay, close parentheses, Golem. Now the Clay Golem is the golem that I would naturally think of when I think of a golem, right? Golems are made of clay. But the clay golem that Die Terlizzi depicts is not the clay golem of, you know, the story of the golem. It's a terracotta warrior. It's one of the funerary statues that were found in the tomb of Qin Shi Huangdi, the first emperor of China, with lots of asterisks on those terms, but you know what I mean. So that is very interesting because the relationship, the like creator to creation relationship implied by the two is different, right? Like if you're going to fight a golem in the traditional sense, then we are talking about the unique creation of a particular person. You know, this rabbi made this golem for this purpose. And then typically lost control of it, right? The whole idea, the rules for golems like going berserk are meant to represent the idea of the golem kind of the plan going haywire that is present in the story of the golem. Things get out of control. The golem literally gets out of control. But by contrast, the terracotta warriors are individual soldiers in a vast army, you know, that's supposed to serve a deceased monarch in the afterlife, or if you prefer, symbolize that deceased monarch's military power. I guess that makes sense if we think of the clay golem as a, you know, a lesser golem. It might very well be that we are fighting rank upon rank of these monsters, but at this point we are leaving behind anything that we would have traditionally understood by golem. After that, we have four types of golem that we have not yet seen. At least I don't think we have. These are the bone, doll, gargoyle, and glass golems. If you want to tell me that we've seen the bone golem before, like it's in the creature catalog or something, I believe you, but I did not initially recall it. So I've put it on my list to do in the next episodes. Then we've got our old friend, the Necrophidius, which is lumped in with the Scarecrow as, I guess, kind of horror golems. Speaking of horror golems, I mean, that's very much what the bone, doll, gargoyle, and glass golems are. The Scarecrow is the Scarecrow, with which we're all familiar, and a creature that has changed sort of over different editions of the game. But here, it's just an animated wood and straw and old clothes construct. I actually really like the illustrations here, which are by Mark Baxa, or Baja, or Basha, I don't know, but B-A-X-A. They seem very like, they have kind of a pulpy, comic booky kind of feel to them. Maybe it's just the colors, which I know are done by someone else, but or many of them are done by someone else. But I don't know. They seem suitable to these kind of horror-y, but like action horror-y monsters. Then finally, we've got three variations on the stone golem. These are the Caryatid. I think I've always said Caryatid, but I have no reason to think that that's actually right. That's just the way I've always said it. Column. Things that are hard to pronounce include both the names of D&D monsters and terms from architecture. I took one term of architectural history, or maybe two. But this is, you know, again, this is the type that we are already familiar with. We got the Juggernaut, which we covered back in the creature catalog. The kind of rolling, it's basically a kind of tank that featured in Master of the Desert Nomads, and I think there's one in Castle Amber. I think this is it making its first appearance in an AD&D context, but whatever. And the Stone Guardian, which is basically kind of a bigger, more brutal stone golem. So there's definitely a lot of kind of desire for animated statues and living machines like the Juggernaut. I was a little surprised not to see the crystal golems or whatever come over from D&D as well. But still, you know, I have to applaud this section. You know, 13 monsters in 8 pages is a high degree of efficiency for this book. I realize it's not that great. The inclusion of a number of formerly separate monsters like scarecrows or necrophidii into this section makes sense, and particularly helps reinforce the whole thing about the necrophidius that despite being made out of bones, it is not an undead monster. You would kind of tend to think that it would be. The illustrations are nice. You know, I like a Tony DiTerlizzi illustration, of course, but also I think Mark Bax's illustrations have a kind of pulp horror look to them that is pretty good. Now, overall, I would say that I am pretty pleased with this section as it stands, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about the types of golem that we haven't covered yet, the bone, doll, gargoyle, and glass golems. We also, I should say, at the beginning, there's a kind of general section. Really, these 13 monsters are in 6 pages, but then there's a 2-page section at the beginning about kind of golems in general, how they're created, what they are, which is they're sort of inanimate constructs possessed by spirits from the elemental plane of Earth, right? So they're an external thing that is brought into a body, which again, not, I don't think, what happens with the folkloric golem. The information is presented actually in a pretty useful way. In the monster entry, you're seldom going to want to know how to like create one on the fly, but it is handy to have that information somewhere. So overall, this is a pretty solid monster category, and that makes sense because the idea of an animated object or of an artificial person is one that runs through a lot of different folklore and a lot of different literature, and that bears with it certain pre-made associations. So, you know, when you encounter what's obviously Frankenstein's monster, you already have feelings about that. And you can see why people kind of returned to this well so many times. All right, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, well, what our next episode is going to vary depending on who you are. If you're a Patreon subscriber at the $2 or higher level, we're going to have the first of my inter-season episodes of Patron Deities coming up in the middle of the week. And then at the end of the week, we're going to have a special listener request episode. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.